Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's message is taken from today's gospel, especially these words spoken by the master. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So far the text. Actually, this parable is pretty straightforward and simple until you get to verse 8. You have a steward. He has mismanaged the money. The people in town tell the master what he's done. The master calls him in and fires him on the spot and then says, now go get your books. And the guy never says a word, and yet he starts to think up this plan. He goes, well, what I'm going to do is, since I'm in trouble for stealing, I'm just going to steal more. And more from my master, more from the rich man, and I will reduce the debt of all his debtors so that they will like me when I finally get kicked out of this house. And then the master finds out what he did. Now, all that makes sense. Verse 8 doesn't, where the master commends him for what he did. Not only doesn't that make any sense, it really doesn't make sense when we apply the parable. After all, the wealthy man is God, and the deceitful steward is us. And it sounds like we're being told to be dishonest. If we sin, then God will commend us. Now, that doesn't make any sense, and you can see why this is a gospel that, you know, people tend to avoid reading. But since the epistle lesson is what it is, I'm going to do this one, okay? I preached on that one a couple years ago, so you can't say I didn't. But, yeah, so we look at this, and I was looking at a lot of people and a lot of different theologians and their takes on this, and I did came across one that was really unique. I've never thought of it this way. And basically he said that the parable of the unjust steward is a negative lesson. In other words, what Jesus says here is, he says, this is the way the world acts. You shouldn't act that way. And he says, because look, the world acts shrewdly. You're not supposed to do that. And when then you look at verses 10 and 11, it says, you're supposed to work to live your life not shrewdly, but faithfully. And negative lessons are good ones. They're powerful ones. They're ones that tend to stick with us. When I was thinking about this yesterday, I looked at my knees, and I had two negative lessons right there, two scars, one on each knee. My left knee, it's one of my earliest memories as a child, and you can say it's been burned into my memory, where I was coming back from the grocery store with my mom, and I really wanted to help her carry the groceries in, and so I grabbed this big bag of groceries, and I'm walking around the back of the car, and I kind of pushed my leg up against the tailpipe that was white hot. I could still smell that. Just, ugh, it's bad. Interesting thing now, that was on my thigh. Now it's moved down to my knee. Isn't that weird? Who knows where it'll be in 10 years, but you know, that's where it is now. But again, much more recently, I bought a cake from Market of Choice, and they got great cakes, and I was walking out with that, and I tripped on a curb in the parking lot, and I had that split-second decision. Do I save the cake or do I save my knee? I saved the cake. Now, with those two examples, those two scars, that's a lesson I've learned. I've learned when I walk behind a car, make sure you know where the tailpipe is. And secondly, if I trip carrying a cake, let the cake go. You can buy another cake. You can't buy another knee. So, but again, negative lessons, they have a real impact on us, and that's what we see here, saying this is a negative lesson. This is something you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be shrewd like this. We should be faithful. Of course, I could be on board with that if it wasn't for verse 8, where it says, and the master commended the guy for being shrewd. So you really can't use that one. I think the key, there are two keys to understanding this, and they both revolve around the word shrewd. The first is this. Jesus has the master say, he commends the dishonest servant for being shrewd. He doesn't say he commends the shrewd servant for being dishonest. It's a very big difference between those two. So let's look at actually what happened. He gets caught by the master. You're fired on the spot. Go get your books. And you'd think he would say something. He would say, I'm sorry, or I didn't do it, or please forgive me. He just says nothing. He's caught. He doesn't want to make it any worse. And to his surprise, he has a little time. And so he comes up with this idea. Well, I'm just going to steal on top of stealing, right? I'm just going to reduce the what the debtors of the master owe. And he's in a big hurry because it probably doesn't take long to get the books and come back. And so he gets these guys, and you can see how dishonest he's being, right? He does it quickly, so he's not caught. He does it privately. He says he met with them one by one. In other words, he doesn't want them all saying, well, this is too good to be true. Why is this happening? He does them individually. And the exact the amount that he's reducing their debt is the exact same. It doesn't sound like that because with the oil, it's from 100 to 50, and for the wheat, it's 100 to 80. But in their economy, that was the exact same amount. And today, that would be $47,000. So he said, you, drop it $47,000. You, drop yours $47,000, and on down the line. And what it never caught on before is he tells them, you write down. You're the one who needs the pencil and erase what you owe and write the new number in your handwriting. He's kind of distancing himself from the crime. I never noticed that before, but that's interesting. He does all these things. And then the master commends him on what he's done, right? Commends the dishonest steward for his shrewdness. So the second key is, what does shrewdness mean? I think, really, when you look at this text, and especially in its context, you realize that shrewdness is faithfulness. It doesn't sound right, but let's look at why he did. It's not that he was doing something dishonest. It's why he did something dishonest. And that's shrewdness. When the master caught him the first time, so verse 2a, the first part of verse 2, he was expecting 2b to be, not only are you fired, but I'm throwing you into prison immediately, and or I'm going to sell you and your family into slavery, so I'll get some of my money back. That's what should have happened, but it didn't. He gets fired, for sure. But the master has shown an unexpected mercy and graciousness. And that's the only little thread that this steward has to hold on to. Is he is aware of this nature of the master. He's merciful and he's gracious. And so if I go and do the rest of this stuff and make sure with people like me in town, I can take a chance. He's rolling the dice based on that one thing he knows about the nature of the master, that if he was gracious and merciful to me once, he might be gracious and merciful to me again. And the master recognizes this. His dishonesty is not commended. It's the reason why he was dishonest. And that's his absolute and total trust and confidence in the mercy of the master. This is not a parable that's about money. It's not a parable that's a negative example. It's not a parable about any of those things. What it is, a parable about faithfulness. I think it's interesting in verse 11 here, it says, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? The true riches is the faith we have been given. It's an unshakable knowledge of God's love and mercy and compassion for us. It's an unshakable view that we have that Jesus gave his life on a cross to redeem us, to pay for the debt. See, the master had two choices, right? Number one, when he found out what he had done, he could have lowered the boom on him and reinstalled all the debt. People wouldn't like that. Or B, what could he do? He could simply eat the debt himself that his steward had created and become Mr. Popular, which is what he chose. That's exactly what our Master Jesus Christ has done for us. The Father sent him to redeem us from our debt, and God ate that debt, and that was ours. And because we know this unshakable knowledge and trust in God's mercy, we can go forth in our life and act We can act in confidence because we know God and we know He knows us. And so we go into the people who are in our lives with the good news we trust, the good news that we've seen evidenced throughout our lives. And we can say to them, Jesus has saved your life too. He's forgiven your sin too. He's redeemed your debt too. And He's given you a home and made a promise that someday you'll be there as well. This is a powerful parable, especially when you really see how important this faith is. It's faith that leads him to do something dishonest, but he only did that because he knew what his master was like. We of all people know exactly who God is. And I pray that we live our lives in trust of that mercy every day. In Jesus' name, amen. This time now we receive our offering.